Chapter 2.
A few days later, a rumor prevailed that we were going to be interrogated. And my father also arrived from the city, worn out with worry. And he came to see me with the idea of persuading me. He said,
"My daughter, pity my gray hairs. Have pity on me, your father. If I am worthy to be called your father, if I have favored you above all your brothers, if I have raised you to reach this prime of your life, do not abandon me to the scorn of men. Have regard for your brothers. Have regard for your mother and your mother's sister. Have regard for your child. You will not be able to live once you are gone. Give up your pride. You will destroy all of us, for none of us will ever be able to speak freely again if anything happens to you."
This was the way my father spoke out of love for me, kissing my hands and casting himself down at my feet. And with tears in his eyes, he no longer addressed me as his daughter, but as a lady. And I grieved over the gray hairs of my father, because he alone of all my relatives would not rejoice in my suffering. And I tried to comfort him, saying, "It will all happen on that platform as God wills. For you may be sure that we are not left in our own power, but in God's." And he departed from me full of great sorrow. On another day, while we were eating breakfast, we were suddenly hurried off for an interrogation. We arrived at the forum, and straight away a rumor spread throughout the neighboring parts of the forum, and an immense crowd gathered. We climbed up to the platform. All the others, when interrogated, confessed their faith. Then, when it came my turn, my father immediately appeared with my son, and he dragged me down from the step, saying,
"Perform the sacrifice! Have pity on your baby!"
And Hilarianos, the procurator, who had received the right of the sword on the death of the proconsul Minucios Timinianos, said to me,
"Have pity on your father's gray head! Have pity on your infant son! Offer the sacrifice for the welfare of the emperors!"
"I will not," I retorted.
"Are you a Christian?"
asked Hilarianos. And I said, "I am a Christian." And when my father persisted in trying to dissuade me, Hilarianos ordered him to be thrown to the ground and beaten with a rod. And I was grieved for my father's plight as if I had been beaten myself. I was so grieved for his wretched old age. Then Hilarianos passed sentence on all of us. We were condemned to the beasts. And we returned to the prison in great joy. Then, because my infant had grown accustomed to be nursed at my breast and to staying with me in the prison, I, at once, sent the minister Pomponios to my father to ask for my infant. But father refused to give him back. And as God willed, my infant had no further desire for my breasts, nor did my breasts suffer any inflammation. So I was immediately relieved of any anxiety for my infant and of any discomfort in my breasts. After a few days, while we were all praying, suddenly, in the middle of our prayer, a voice came to me and named Dinocrates. And I was astonished, because that name had never before entered my mind until then. And I was grieved as I remembered his misfortune. And immediately, I knew that I was worthy and that I ought to make a prayer on his behalf. And I began to earnestly pray for him and to lament to the Lord. Without delay, on that very night, the following was shown to me in a vision. I saw Dinocrates going out from a gloomy place. There were also many other dark places there. And he was parched and very thirsty, and his pale countenance was filthy, and the wound which he had had when he had died was still in his face. This Dinocrates had been my brother according to the flesh, who had died miserably at the age of 7. His face had been so eaten out with cancer that his death was repugnant to all men. For him I had made my prayer. And between him and me there was a great chasm, so that neither of us could approach the other. Moreover, in the very place where Dinocrates was, there was a cistern full of water. Its rim was higher than the height of the boy. And Dinocrates stretched himself up on tiptoe as if to drink from it. And I was grieved that although the cistern held water, still, because of the height of its rim, he was unable to drink from it. And I awakened, and I knew that my brother was suffering. But I trusted that I could bring relief to his suffering. And I prayed for him every day until we passed over into the garrison prison. For we were to fight with the wild beasts at the garrison show on the birthday of Caesar Gaeta. And I made my prayer for my brother day and night, with groans and tears, so that he might be given to me. On the day on which we stayed in the stocks, the following was shown to me. I saw that same place which I had formerly seen, and Dinocrates, with a clean and well-dressed body, was finding refreshment. And where the wound had once been, I now saw a scar. And that cistern which I had before seen, I now saw that its rim had been lowered even to the boy's stomach, and he drew water from the cistern unceasingly. And on its top was a goblet filled with water. And Dinocrates drew near and began to drink from it, and the goblet was never empty. And once he was satisfied, he began to play in the water joyfully after the manner of children. And I awoke and understood that he had been transported from the place of punishment.